guys. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a fantastic day today. These guys have been enjoying the collagen formula. It was making some of that right there.
Well, you got me excited about it yesterday, Austin, so I thought I'd give it a shot again this morning.
Well, you know, the more you take it, the better it gets. That's what I've noticed, because I was taking it on and off, and the more I kept reading about it, the more I kept realizing I probably need to take it more often. That's one of the biggest things with supplements, and I try to explain this to a lot of people, is that, you know, you can try something, but I've had this happen a lot with customers, and it's frustrating, but again, I understand it, is they'll take something for 2 or 3 days. They go, oh, my joints don't feel better yet. I'm like, we've been taking it for 2 or 3 days. Yeah. It didn't take 2 or 3 days to start having joint problems. You got to look at it on that scale. It didn't take 10 or 15 years. It took 10 or 15 years to start having problems with stuff. It didn't take 2 or 3 days. So not saying it takes that long to get results, but usually you got to try to give stuff at least a 30-day result.
Have we welcomed to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show yet?
Yeah.
I thought we did.
Yeah.
No, I'm all preoccupied.
World
here
news and health research. Yeah. We've been talking. We had a lot of stuff going on. We're doing some updates with the show, with the internet's connection, with the quality. We're going to be doing some updates over the next couple of weeks.
Well, we got these. We got the cameras that we use are super high def.
They are. We're not even taking full advantage of them.
We're only using about a tenth of their potential. And so we're going to upgrade the studio and really start doing a lot more.
I want everything like high def 4K, HD 4K.
The problem is, you know, we're going to look like we're kind of scruffy every once in a while because
you are going to see that more.
Because, you know, we're like, I don't know, if I don't shave, I'm going to look like, you know, what's wrong with Ted not shaving today?
Well, and that's the other issue we run into is basically the upload speed, because the internet's got to be able to have the ability. It doesn't matter how good a quality it is. You can't upload it all.
They can't handle it.
It throttles it down.
This actually mixed up pretty good with a knife.
I don't even have the tumbler on this one. So thank you again, my friends. Stay strong and healthy. Now, I saw something earlier. I want to talk to you about this because I was interesting. You got Trump now who he's finally stopped calming down with his rhetoric about China maybe for a day. He's saying termination can't come fast enough as he pummels Powell, because Powell yesterday crashed the markets again.
Well, he's talking about more inflation.
Well, yeah, but he's also talking about not dropping the rates. And, I mean, the problem is the rates are one of the main reasons why everything's getting stale with the houses, with everything.
Well, there's a real problem with the Federal Reserve. Number one, it can't be audited.
That is a problem.
And it's it's independent from the federal government. That's how they set it up in 1913.
The analogy I always heard is a federal, you know, Federal Reserve. There's nothing Federal Express is.
Here's what happened. You know, they decided they all met over Jekyll Island on top of a dead Indian burial site. Didn't know that one, did you, Austin?
I know it's dead.
The hotel had been built on a burial site.
They still have it there?
Oh, yeah. They got a big sign that says it was a burial site.
That's weird.
Yeah, so you got all kinds of demonic stuff going on probably for there on top of everything else. But, you know, and then we got these groups of people, they meet over there. They decide how to enslave the United States through fiat currency. Well, that was fun. Well, then what happened is John Jacob Astor, who started the St. Regis Hotel and owned a whole lot of downtown New York, he told them that they weren't going to be able to do that. He was one of the richest men in the world. He said, I tell you what, I'm going to use my entire resources to stop this. Now, you guys, stay with me for a second. This is going to get interesting. And so John Jacob Astor said, how about no? Now, remember, he was a Jewish industrialist also. Brilliant man. He had seen what they had done to the countries in Europe through the enslavement of fiat currency in a central bank. He didn't want to do that. Said, no, we're not going to do that. The United States is the greatest thing that's ever happened on the planet. We can make a lot of money here, and we're not going to give it all to you guys. Well, there were two or three other guys with him on the Titanic. I mentioned that, along with J.P. Morgan, was supposed to be on the Titanic. He canceled at the last minute. And for the first time in naval maritime history, men were not allowed on lifeboats. Yeah. They were kept off the lifeboats at gunpoint.
If you remember, they show it briefly in that film, Titanic film. They were sending some of the lifeboats.
Almost empty.
Almost empty, three quarters empty, because they wouldn't let guys on.
Well, they had to kill Astor. And so, in my opinion, you think, well, that sounds crazy to me this morning, Ted. Well, that's all right. You just do some research on it. I thought it sounded pretty crazy first time I read this, too. John Jacob Astor was kept off the lifeboat. He drowned on the Titanic. And J.P. Morgan, at the last minute, had met with the Vatican. And remember, the Rothschilds were the gatekeepers and the money handlers of the Vatican. Just thought you might want to look that one up. And suddenly he decides to cancel his trip.
The day they were leaving.
On the penthouse suite.
Yep.
Because he knew what was going to happen. And the captain was a high-level Jesuit. You go, really, Ted? Yeah, why don't you just check it all out? And for the first time in maritime history, men were not allowed on the lifeboats. A lot of women refused to get on lifeboats without their men. So the boats went out pretty, some of them almost empty, and they just basically drowned everybody on that ship, including John Jacob Astor.
Including going through an iceberg field almost full throttle.
Full throttle with a triple prop boat, which handled like garbage, because triple props, that's why they don't build them like that anymore, because you can't turn them. That center screw just messes everything up. And so this thing's flying around about 30 miles an hour through an iceberg field in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it rips the whole side of the boat open. And all of a sudden the watertight containers that were the, you know, compartments had not had the roofs installed on them. Yeah. So everything just spilled over till the ship went down. And while they were getting everybody off the boat, the captain decided to go down with the ship. And John Jacob Astor went down with it too.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a nightmare story. But you think, well, you'd think they sunk the Titanic because of the Federal Reserve Bank? I think there's a high probability of it. I really do. Anyhow, so Powell, 100 years later, they've got us indebted by trillions and trillions of dollars. And he goes, well, you know, can't do much to me. I'm that guy. I'm the guy that has no ability to be audited. You can't fire me either. How about it, Mr. Trump? And he can't fire him. It's very difficult. And all of a sudden he goes, well, we're not going to lower interest rates. Well, he can't lower interest rates because it'll set up the inflationary scale. It'll make more inflation. He knows that. But he also knows that tariffs can be inflationary, not necessarily, but usually they are because prices of goods goes up because Donald Trump says, well, we're going to drop the income tax. No, he's not. The United States runs trillions of dollars in deficits every year with the current income tax structure. He may drop it a point or two for the highest tax bracket, but then all hell's going to break loose with everybody else because they're going to say, all the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. You know,
here's what I want to add.
Listen, watch this.
Powell was asked whether he would step down if Trump asked him to resign. Powell gave an unusually blunt answer, no. He later added the removal or demotion of a top federal official of the Federal Reserve was not permitted under law, meaning the president of the United States cannot force the Federal Reserve chairman to step down.
Yeah. Now let me. I've used this analogy before. Let me use it again. Let's say, for instance, I had the money to buy the island of Grenada, which I don't, right? And I decided I was going to set up a government on Grenada, and we're going to have the world's greatest republic. And let's say I have $1 billion and I buy the island of Grenada, which would be more than $1 billion. But let's use it to make it easier to work with the numbers. So I got $1 billion and I buy the island of Grenada, but now I've got no cash left. I'm cashed out. Okay. So I got an island with no working capital. So I go to Bill Gates or one of these other clowns who supposedly have all this money. And I say, I need you to loan me $10 billion in order to maintain infrastructure and have commerce go on the island. So Bill Gates goes, sure, why not? We'll put a picture of my face on the dollar bill. It'll be a dollar bill from the island of Grenada, and I'll have my face on me. Bill Gates' money, everybody knows, we're worth $10
billion. $10 billion in cash.
And I'm going to charge you 7.2% interest. And you go, great. And he goes, so 10 years goes by. You've got your $10 billion going. In 10 years, the rule of 72 basically says that now within 10 years, that money's going to double.
Right.
So now stay with me on this. This is a concept that people don't get. And it's never explained this way. And I went through the entire MBA program, and nobody even mentioned this at Florida State. I don't know if they just didn't know, or they didn't even because we're under Keynesian economics, because they were trained a certain way. So in 10 years, I come back to Bill Gates, and I go, this is great. Everything's going great on the island of Grenada. He goes, well, you owe me $10 billion, Ted. And I'm like, well, that's great. Pay it back. And I'm like, well, I really don't owe you $10 billion. I owe you the first $10 billion. I owe you another $10 billion in interest. I owe you $20 billion. So even if I give you the whole $10 billion that you originally printed, I'm still $10 billion short.
Doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. You never printed it. Let me give you that concept one more time. He loaned me $10 billion. 10 years later, I owe him $20 billion. They only printed $10 billion. So even if I give him the whole $10 billion back, the only way I can do it is I have now got to take the island of Grenada and use it as collateral.
There you go.
He said, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, now he wants the island as collateral.
Leverage the island.
Because now I owe him $10 billion. I owe him $20 billion. And all of a sudden you go, oh. And so I say, well, I'm going to go ahead and sell bonds and T-bills and all that to all these other countries, you know, through the Fed to make sure that I have the money to pay you. Well, then I give them the $10 billion in interest. Another 10 years goes by, I owe more money. Pretty soon, you're trillions of dollars in debt because it starts having a geometric growth. That's what's happened to the United States. So the Fed comes in back in 1913, and they go, guess what, boys and girls? We'll give you money. Because Harry Truman, remember, the guy, it wasn't Truman. The president then was Woodrow Wilson. He was being blackmailed by Samuel Untermeyer, okay, from a girl at Princeton who he had, you know, extramarital affair with. And Truman ends up, you know, not Truman, Woodrow Wilson ends up getting syphilis on top of everything else. He ends up going nuts. His brain goes out on him. So he basically signs off on the Federal Reserve because, again, it's Samuel Untermeyer blackmailing him, the same guy who mailed, you know, brought the girl to him. That Samuel Untermeyer gets us into World War One with Brandish appointment, same guy with Woodrow Wilson, and then he turns around and he also had gotten us already in with the income tax and with the Federal Reserve Bank. All this stuff was Wilson. Wilson was the absolute worst president this country's ever had. You know, I was in Geneva, Switzerland a few years ago, and I remember they had Hotel Woodrow Wilson named after him because of the Federal Reserve Act and, you know, and the Treaty of Versailles and all the rest of this stuff. Absolutely piece of garbage president. He was worse than Abraham Lincoln. He was the worst. He makes Joe Biden look like the poster child of, you know, great presidents. That's how bad he was, Woodrow Wilson. And so he enslaves us with the national debt. He enslaves us with the Federal Reserve. He enslaves us with the income tax, gets us in the World War One, puts Brandish on the Supreme Court. And remember, Samuel Untermeyer was a hardcore Zionist. He was working with Theodore Herzl back then to bring about the Nation of Israel. All of this stuff ties together, but nobody wants to ever talk about it. So that's why I say the Federal Reserve chair can't be kicked out by Trump because they're above the law. A few years ago, Ron Paul, remember Austin, got a partial audit on him, and they had, quote, misplaced, I think it was $18 trillion. Well, we sent it out to various schools, to various governments, not schools. And Ron Paul says, well, where'd the money go? No, we don't remember. Remember that?
Yes.
A little cocky little thing. We don't really remember. We sent it out, you know, whatever. You know, we don't have to answer his questions. And now we're talking trillions are gone. This is the state that we're in the United States right now. So, you know, that's why I say, that's why yesterday I read that quote. You know, this Federal Reserve keeps just churning out money. And now Donald Trump's making a big show here about wanting to get rid of Powell, which he can't really do. It's going to be very difficult to do that. And the Fed goes, I don't think I'm going to let you fire me today.
And we're not going to lower interest rates.
He can't lower interest rates because that caused the housing boom. The interest rates should have been basically raised 15 years ago. They didn't do that. They kept the interest rates really, really low to push the economy to a further debt level. Now a lot of that debt's coming due. Guess what? And we got to refinance it at a higher interest rate.
Well, see, in reality, they should have been raising the interest rate when they were pumping all that money with COVID.
They should have never pumped the money with COVID.
No, they should never. But what happened was they dumped $7 trillion with COVID.
I think it was twice that.
But at that same time, your mortgage, you could get a mortgage for a 2.75.
Yeah.
You had car loans for 0.9% interest.
That's going to – well, the thing about it is, the interest in the bank should really only be enough to cover operating costs, not for the gouging.
Right.
And so all of this stuff is because of the lack of money in the M1 money supply and the massive amount of inflation that we've had from the, $14 trillion with COVID, total.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, that's a lot of cash. Well, somebody's got to pay for that. And then that's where we find ourselves now. I mean, the exotic car market went nuts. People were buying Lamborghinis and all these other kind of fancy cars. They were paying $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 above sticker because they had so much cash floating around. And now the cash is tightened up. And now all of a sudden we have all of these houses going empty because a lot of these migrants have decided to go home before they get kicked out. And so now we have this huge glut of open.
The housing market did the same thing. I remember watching houses down here and talking to realtors, and there were people that were doing blind bidding on houses, offering 50 and 100 and 200,000 over asking price, getting bidding wars. There were people listing houses, and the day after they listed it, they had 15 to 20 people putting bids on the house for, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40% over sticker from up north. And now all of a sudden, those houses that were $200,000 that these people paid $500,000-$600,000 for, they've come back to roost now, and everybody's realizing these little cracker box houses that they paid $500,000 for in Florida are not worth that much money.
You know, when I built our office over 30 years ago, okay, I paid $30 a foot.
Square foot? Oh, yeah.
It's $30 a square foot. That's what I paid. Now, I had to pay the lot was extra, but I paid $30 a square foot to build a house. Now, it's $200 to $300.
Oh, I know.
And the problem is that the prices aren't coming down because the costs have gone up. Because of all that money. So it's going to take a minute for this to all readjust.
But also what's happened too now, because I've talked to a couple of the main builders in Florida, and one of the biggest issues now is a lot of these contractors, a lot of these developers, they got used to these profit margins as well, and they don't want to drop the prices. The material cost is still up, but it's not up like it was during COVID. And so it happens a lot of these guys now. There was a subdivision. Somebody sent me a link to it. There's a subdivision over in Orlando, and all of a sudden they had like 15, 20 houses left in the subdivision. They went and cut the price on all the brand new houses by $100,000 to dump them, and they liquidated them like that. That shows you the margins they had on those houses.
Let me give you an example. I have a friend of mine works for a local university, and they had some bushes removed, about 20 bushes that were basically holly trees that were about 20 feet tall.
Yeah.
Had to have the bushes taken out and hauled off. So the way the prices of inflation have happened down here, they came in from a local nursery, and they said, we'll remove the holly trees for you.
Yep.
$55,000.
What?
This is last week.
I'll spend a weekend out there with a chainsaw.
No, listen.
$55,000.
No, listen to this. No, it was $55,000. So my buddy called me up. He goes, you know anybody who can take these bushes out? I said, yeah. I got them taken out for $2,300.
Yeah.
It took him about 8 hours of work to haul them off, take them out, pull them out. And basically, he made good money with it. He made several hundred. He made about $300 an hour doing it. But they wanted $55,000.
That's nuts.
But that shows you the extent of what these builders and these developers and these nursery people and all these different people that are involved.
They're making some money, too.
Because they're making money, too. And remember, when you got an organization that gets top-heavy because they've got too many people at the management level or mid-management level, they got to make a lot of money just to pay the bills. They have to do that. But $55,000? Are you kidding
me? I would have hired a crew, gone out there and done it for them.
Well, no, then they had some other work they had to have done, and they asked me if they could help me with that. And the lowest bid they got on having the other work done was $275,000.
Jeez.
Not making this up. Okay, these are real numbers now. And I got it done. I got a contract, and then we got it done for $60,000.
Yeah.
One who wasn't going to gouge them. Now, think about that. I mean, you're looking at, 20% of what they were asking we get it done for. The other 80% represents only one thing, profit margins to the corporations that are doing this. And that's the problem that we've run into now. And so now Powell's saying, I can't lower interest rates anymore because all this will start up again. Trump says lower interest rates because he knows it'll boom the housing market. And now we have tariffs coming in. Now here's what happens to happen with tariffs. If I buy, a pair of glasses, okay, and these glasses are, $4 or $5 or $6. I think they were $6 at Sam's, right? They were a three-pack for like $20. And all of a sudden, we put 125% tariff on them. Now, they're not going to be with $6 anymore. It'd be $12.
Right.
It'd be a little bit more double. Okay, well, that's still not a whole lot on glasses. But you start doing that on throughout all the economy, it starts adding up. Suddenly, my price on glasses goes from $20 a pack to $40 a pack.
Yeah.
Okay? So all that's inflationary. Now, what can happen is Walmart, who owns Sam's Club or wherever I bought these, they could come in and say, no, we can eat the cost. But here's the problem. They usually don't have those kind of margins in there. And so somebody's got to eat the cost. So Walmart can eat the cost, but then they can't do it and maintain overhead and maintain operating capital. So they've got to raise the prices because the raw material went up or the product the cost went up. So that becomes a major issue, Austin. So if you get enough of the if you give a 20% tariff, they could probably munch on it and say, okay, we can eat this. 125% tariff,
no,
the margins aren't there.
No.
They can't make the money. And so that's a problem we're going to have. And so Powell's coming in now, and he's pretending like he cares about the country because he doesn't. And he's saying, well, we're not going to raise lower interest rates. Trump says, you got to lower interest rates. Well, it's like lowering interest rates right now with this inflationary spiral that could be caused by the tariffs is like hitting the gas on a car and hitting the brake at the same time. Is the horsepower of the brake going to win?
Yeah.
Or is the transmission going to blow?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is a good metaphor because you do that with a car long enough, something's going to break.
Yeah.
And so they don't realize that. And now Trump knows this. He knows if they lower interest rates, what's going to happen. You can't hit the gas with the brake at the same time. The economy's going to break. Something's going to happen. We're having a depression. Okay. This is what happened in 1929. The Rothschild banking cartel that had now run the Federal Reserve for 16 years comes in and goes, well, guess what? People are making too much money. We're going to go ahead and contract the M1 money supply. Nobody can pay their bills anymore. And we can seize all the land and all the family farms in the United States. Yep. Don't think it happened. It happened here. This group of people that we've given that kind of control to own us. That sounds awful. They own us. And the only reason the companies and the entire world can continue working is because of property taxes. Because they don't get – that's why the property taxes have gone through the roof.
That's exactly right.
And so the property taxes go through the roof because these idiot county commissioners that are run to the highest levels by the Masonic lodges, they decide to increase everything, increase the cost. I remember years ago we had a 5% gas tax come in, or 5 cents a gallon gas tax. It was going to be temporary for road improvement. Remember
that?
It never got taken away.
Taxes never end up being temporary.
No.
That's the thing I always tell people when they vote for stuff like that. I'm like, dude, you're an idiot.
You really are.
If you really think the government is going to temporarily tax you, and then suddenly, after 2 years, they're going to pull that tax back and start letting you keep more of your money. It's never
happened. You could work like 8 or 9 or 10 years with Polk County, or used to be, and get a doggone pension.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. You can't do that, because what happens over a period of 40, 50 years when everybody's drawing pensions, you have to massively increase the tax base through property taxes or sales tax in order just to pay the doggone cost of the pensions. None of this works. That's all socialism. If they want to work for the county and they've got good health insurance, whatever, give them a separate thing they can put money into for their own pension. Let them bypass Social Security, which all of us should be able to do. The Amish don't have to pay Social Security.
Came out on Zero Hedge. Remember, I was just telling you about more than 35,000 U.S. properties foreclosed in March.
That's just March.
They said that's 11% up from February 2025.
Oh, yeah.
That's a huge jump, by the way, from what it was. Because what's happening is now these interest rates and these payments, and everybody that's got these $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 mortgages. Here's the problem: it puts
ARMs, adjustable rate mortgages.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw that. '08 and '09. But also the other problem is too: it's very troubling because I've talked to people before. They've gotten situations where they went in, they bought this house for $500,000, 6-7% interest now. When all of a sudden they go to sell the house and they go, well, your valuation of the house is $350,000. You mean like you're upside down in the house and you're paying an enormous amount of interest every single month, and you got to look at it. You got to do a cost benefit analysis. Do I want to let the house go, or do I want to keep paying on it, hope it's going to eventually come back up, while I just continually throw money at interest and no principal at the beginning phase of the house?
Everybody was doing just like they did in 2006, '07, and '08 when it all crashed.
The houses were the ATMs.
The houses
were flipping
the ATMs.
Them. Yep. Yeah. All right, there were people that are buying houses, holding them for 6 months, flipping them, and making $150,000, $200,000 on them.
Remember, Klaus Schwab hat gesagt. That's German for what did he say? Was hat Klaus Schwab gesagt? What did Klaus Schwab say?
What did he say?
By 2030, oh, peasants, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Yeah. Listen to this. You get deep enough in debt on a house, you're happy when that goes away.
Yeah.
And somebody else takes it over. We'll take the house from you. You can rent it from us.
Well, I've seen it.
We'll absorb it.
I've had people call me up before. They get massively upside down in vehicles. I told you guys that.
Oh,
all of a sudden, they're $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 upside down. Because they watched it. And then the problem is, then they kick the can down the road and roll the negative equity into another vehicle. And then all of a sudden, they're upside down of that. Then in 2 or 3 years, they try to trade in. Well, you're like $50,000 upside down in this now. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Ends up with bankruptcy.
Or they default on it. The car gets repossessed. And then that hits your credit. That crashes your credit. And you got to look back and you're like, golly, now I ruined that.
Yeah, but you got to remember, they don't just decrut. What they do, they go to the bank and get a default judgment.
Yeah, they can.
And now they own you. Now that you owe $50,000 or $30,000 extra, now they go after your paycheck.
Correct.
Oh, yeah. Now they start garnishing your wages. And you're like, gosh, it's like living in hell.
Yeah.
This is awful. You know, and you go, what can we do? Well, the problem is, if you don't get yourself into that situation, we begged everybody 4 years ago, five years ago. Don't go pay over
sticker
price.
Everybody was contacting me because I've been big in the automotive world for years, and everybody's like, get this. I said, dude, the fact you're even asking me if you think a Honda Civic for $10,000 over sticker is a good idea means you don't need to buy it.
No.
Just be honest with you on that.
I had a friend of mine buy one of those Lincoln SUVs. It was used. And she had filed bankruptcy. Listen to this one. This is like the worst I've ever seen. She had filed bankruptcy on the car. No, I'm sorry. She had filed bankruptcy, and then she was working at this automotive dealership, and they sold her one that was like 2 years old for $75,000.
It was a Navigator.
I think it was, yeah. And so she had her mother co-sign it. Oh, yeah. Don't co-sign anything for anyone ever. But pay their Uber bill before you co-sign a car. Just pay their Uber. It's going to be cheaper.
At least you can write the Uber bill off.
And you stop paying the Uber if you get tired of them wanting to sit around and smoke pot all day and not work. Just thought I'd mention that down in the basement. Okay. Just a little humor here, right? So all of a sudden now she basically decides that she can't make the payment anymore because she quits her job at the dealership for various reasons. She said it was sexual harassment. I don't know why, but the point is she quits her job. Well, now her payment's $1,500 a month. Okay, so she can't make the payment. So they drag the car away with the dog on tow truck.
Yeah,
and now she can't file bankruptcy because her mom co-signed, and she's already filed bankruptcy 2 years earlier. So now the mother has to pay for the vehicle, or the mother's credit goes to poop.
Here's the problem. Now the vehicle's gone.
Well, no, she got it back. The bank let her refinance it for the same amount of money.
Just to give it back
so she could still choke through the payments of $1,500 a month.
Go see, the bank doesn't really enjoy repossessing vehicles.
No.
They got to take the auction. They got to take the loss on it. They want to keep that constant interest.
Well, the auction price, the wholesale price of that car was $35,000. She was $40,000 upside down. $40,000. That means the bank doesn't have any equity in that vehicle. They're upside down in it. They can't sell it. It's a money bag.
They don't want it. No.
So that's why they give it back to her. They keep trying to choke out payments. Now, whatever happened in that situation, I don't know. I haven't stayed in contact with that individual. But the crazy part about it is that, you know, you see this, and it's not just one person. This is indicative of the entire automobile industry right now.
It is.
And there's literally millions of people that are upside down because that 10-year-old car they had that was running perfectly, it wasn't okay. We had to get it. We had to go into debt. We had to pay $30,000 over sticker.
Well, one thing that is happening, though, and this is a problem, is you notice these vehicles now that are going out of warranty after they're 4 or 5 years old, they're having much more problems than they used to on cars that were, say, 10
or
20 years ago.
Well, because of all the pollution stuff.
Exactly. The pollution controls, especially on the diesel engines. And, you know, Corey from PPI, he did a whole podcast on this the other day. He's been fighting EPA for years. And he said, here's the problem that they've done. So you take a truck, you buy it brand new. You keep it all the way 4 years out of warranty, like a Super Duty, right? Mm. Well, then all of a sudden, the DPF goes out. The entire emission nonsensical system that EPA mandates are on there. He goes, now, the truck's out of warranty. Yep. You take it in. You want it fixed. Now it's $15,000 to $20,000 to fix the whole EGR DPF system. Or you can delete it and take those parts off it so the motor runs better. But when you do that, now it's a federal offense if you get caught doing it and you can't trade the vehicle back in. So you're forced to fix the vehicle per OEM standards for the EPA, and then you cause the same problems again because the parts are going to fail in 3 to 4 years.
Because they overheat.
Because they overheat. It runs too hot. So they've caused these problems where it makes these engines where the old 7.3 power.
Oh, my God. Old Ford.
I know guys with 96 Super Duties. They got 700,000 miles on those motors. They do not stop.
Diesel engines are one
oil
of the
chain.
Simple. No spark plugs, nothing.
When I was working with ICF Builders, that contract up in Amelia Island, one of the foremans there, he had like a 99 7.3. He had 1 million miles on it. It was a 5-speed manual.
Oh, yeah.
He changed the clutch, changed the oil.
That's it.
That's all he ever did. That didn't have a lot of power. He didn't have a tune. It was run real fast. But, dude, he drove
run forever.
He had it for like 25 years.
Mercedes used to make the finest, highest quality vehicles in the world. Now they're ranked like 35th in quality control.
Yeah.
Okay. You have a Mercedes out of warranty and your door locks go out. It's thousands and thousands of dollars just to fix that. Radiators, thousands of dollars. Everything's thousands. BMW is worse.
Yep.
And that's why when those cars come out of warranty, oh, my gosh, they lose their value quickly.
No, they do. That's why you got to be careful because you'll see these cars hit the market on Car Gurus and Auto Trader and stuff. And you're like, oh, wow. You know, it's a 2019 Mercedes.
S-Class. It was 120,000 new.
God, I can pick it up for 40 grand.
I can pick it up for 20 grand sometimes.
Wow. It's got high miles, got 90,000, 100,000 miles, and it's not a big deal. But the thing you don't realize is the maintenance intervals on those cars, because they're so tight tolerance, you go, okay, well, I got it. Well, it needs new service. You take it for service. They go, well, by the way, service is going to be $8,000 for oil change and this and this and this. And you go, I'm not going to do that. You don't do it very long, you'll find out how quick those motors do not operate and do not run.
Because when they run AMGs. Especially when they run those high temperatures, they have a tendency to burn up pretty quick if you don't keep the oil changed on them.
Yeah. That's a fact on there. Also, too, here's another health article that popped up here today since we were talking about it.
Let's do it.
Can collagen keep you young?
You know, I got kind of hyper off that protein.
That's that purpose thing. Did you take
I did take one earlier, but I didn't take one just then.
That's a
I already had one earlier.
Factor.
But I threw that doggone chocolate protein in there with that.
Gives you a little something.
I'm kind of geeked up right now.
Well, it's interesting. It says right here, it says when you eat collagen, this is a concept because when you eat collagen, it's not like it just goes directly to the areas you need it. He said it's not transported wholly to your knee to help with joint pain or your skin to relieve wrinkles and improve elasticity. He said it basically has effects all across the body because essentially everything is based on collagen in the body.
That's the holds everything together.
When it's the muscles, it's the way I say it's
cellular
the,
glue.
It's the glue that holds your body together between the joints, the ligaments, the tendons, the bones, the skin, everything. It goes everywhere. It says collagen is such an excellent protein source. It boosts the overall presence of amino acids in the body, and the greater availability leads to increased collagen production in the areas where you need it the most. It says over the past years, they found it helps slow muscle loss and accelerate fat loss, improve skin elasticity in middle-aged women, speed up wound healing in long-term care residents. I talked about that yesterday. And improve symptoms of osteoarthritis and relieve overall joint paying. Said you're interested in this potential age-defying benefits of collagen. Talk to basically somebody that has a good
age-defying.
Yeah, I like that the more people are realizing this stuff, the more people keep talking about it because it really is glue. It's a natural glue your body uses, so to speak. It keeps everything
well. And the thing about it is, without the vitamin C, the collagen can't be built.
Correct.
So at least you're putting.
And then a lot of people are deficient in vitamin C.
Yeah.
So you got people that aren't taking collagen. They're not taking vitamin C, so their body's not producing any collagen. And I wonder why they're aging so fast and their joints are.
That's there's several things that cause aging. Number one is lack of vitamin C.
Okay.
Number two, stress. It's cortisol.
Yeah.
And if a person is stressed out, you know, and they have elevated cortisol, they don't have vitamin C, they're going to age pretty quick. And then why don't we throw some cigarettes in there? Some nicotine. So we cut off cause some vasoconstriction. Why don't we do some of that?
Well, then throw alcohol in there, too.
No, we got to throw alcohol in there, too. You know, I remember I went to my class reunion last year. I could not believe it. The age difference between different people. Some people you really couldn't recognize them at all from high school because they'd aged so badly.
Right.
You know, I'm running around like, Mr. Health Masters, I guess. I'm feeling great. And, you know, one girl came up to me, she goes, you're the only person I recognize from our entire class.
Well, it's funny you say that because I was talking to my buddy the night we were training. He's about to turn 40. I'm about to turn 37. And I said, for the first time now, we're both starting to see the friends and people we knew from younger years that we grew up with. Mm-hmm. We're seeing the ones who actually took care of themselves and the ones who basically have been eating pizza and drinking beer, so to speak, for the last 20 years now. And I'm finally starting to, let's be real. At 20 years old, just about everybody can get abs.
Don't start on the abs.
No. I'm serious. You can be in decent shape as a 20-year-old kid, and males and females. If you don't eat junk half the time, you can be in pretty decent shape. You start looking at people behind they get in their 30s and their 40s, especially at your age, where you start.
Now it's my age.
A compliment, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
By the way, you see a lot of people, they start getting it, and the health starts deteriorating rapidly because, A, they don't stretch, B, they don't exercise, C, they don't get out and do anything else.
Wow, I'm 41.
I know. Well, I thought, you're about to be 42. Don't lie.
I mean, I had you when I was like 6.
Yeah. But it really does make a difference. And like I said, I think the C, the collagen, exercise, and also, too, don't take out the factor of adequate hydration and drinking purified water every day.
And don't drink chlorine and fluoride, please.
No. Either get a good filtration system in your house if you need a whole one. Get a water distiller that we have all these.
Yeah.
If you want a countertop with this really cheap budget formula, get that. But the little filters they put in the little cheap refrigerators with the refrigerators that monitor you and track you with their little smart chips in them. No, those filters, they suck. They don't take anything out. It's a little charcoal cartridge that takes out like debris and bacteria.
Well, I'm surprised they haven't said you have to drink more water on a big screen on the TV. We haven't had your.
Oh, no.
You haven't had the amount of fluoride you need yet.
Yeah, no, they're not even going to promote that. They're going to be like, have you had your soda today? You need your soda. You haven't had your 8 Dr. Peppers.
Well, the refrigerator now wants to tell you if you need more Dr. Peppers.
Yeah. Oh, it does. They have the refrigerators now. They'll notify you what you're out of. You're out of milk. Well, actually, probably won't tell you you're out of eggs. They don't want you.
They're trying to get rid of eggs. They're trying to get rid of milk. They're trying to get rid of all. They're trying to get rid of all kinds of protein.
Well, I saw I brought up the article the other day.
They want you to eat the insects.
About
they do. They want you to eat the insects.
Cockroaches for everyone.
Right. You know, rats grow real fast. I mean, they reproduce quickly, like rabbits.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, so they do. Well, I'll tell you what.
I'm down here in Florida. I live in the swamp. And I swear the biggest rat I've ever seen was in the subway in New York.
Oh, yeah.
That thing was stinking big.
Subway rat.
I thought it was a doggone otter who was so big. And they're like, oh, that's just a subway. He's like the local subway rat. Slide down. I'm like, golly, what is that?
The biggest one I've ever seen was in our backyard. Was a fruit rat.
Oh, yeah, they get big.
He'd gotten so fat he couldn't get out of the grapefruit tree. Remember him? Bill round ball.
They'll lay up in their little nest in a tree or in their hole.
Eating fruit all day. All that fructose. You remember that?
Be careful eating a lot of fruit. Fruit's good for you, but don't sit there and gorge out on enormous amounts of fruit at one time. You got to have protein and fat. I don't know how we got talking
about. Oh, by the way, let's go some mental candy like we haven't had that all morning. Elon Musk's wild plan to father a legion of children. It's funny he says he uses the term legion. Well, back
in the reference with Jesus.
He said that he was legion. That all these demons were in this guy. That's interesting.
Yeah, but legion is also a military term.
Well, he said it was a Roman term for
legion. Yeah, the Roman. Yeah.
Elon Musk isn't just building his empire by running a tech business. He's also creating a legion of children.
Legion.
The tech mogul recruits potential mothers to fulfill his goal. He does it on X, they say, of combating the declining population, according to the sources. So he single-handedly wants to have a harem of the world. The 53-year-old currently has 14 children of four separate mothers, including the musician Grimes. The true number of Musk's children would even be higher, sources told the journal. The Tesla billionaire said to refer to his children as legions in a nod to the ancient Roman army. Musk often interacts with lesser-known users on his social media platform through public replies and direct messages, which sometimes lead to conversation about him having his babies and people who have viewed these in the interactions. So here's what they say. This is interesting. Apparently, they're implying that when you have a baby with Musk and you basically leave him alone and you sign off on the deal, you get $15 million if you're the female.
$15 million? Jeez.
I'm surprised they're not lining up. I'm sure they are lining up.
Oh, my gosh.
We have been thorough. We've been through way too many issues where to say to not sign some agreement associated with handing over $15-plus million is absolutely insane and irresponsible because we have dealt with some very unstable, mentally unstable people. They're talking about women now. They're talking about them. That's what they're doing. That all of these sudden misremembered things, Burchall told St. Clair in December, $15 million plus dollars.
Golly, you know, he's got so many kids.
Oh, I'm sure he'll have a, I'm sure after we did the show today, he'll be in with more. But think about it, $15 million to the moms? Well, I guess if you're worth hundreds of billions of dollars.
No, that's $15 million. That's, I mean, in reference to that, that's pennies, I guess.
Well, you know, you get a girl who or a woman who basically is struggling financially, and now all of a sudden she gets a, cuts a check for $15. And I bet you the way they do this.
I'm sure they sign off on everything.
And I'm sure they get it over time.
Yeah.
Because can't have the mama going broke for the first 20 years, got to raise the baby.
Well, no, $15 million if you give that. I mean, it doesn't. You've seen that with lottery winners. Mm-hmm. The average lottery winner is what broke within 5 years, I think.
So what you do, you give it to them over a 30-year period.
Yeah.
To get the college and everything else paid for. And so there
well,
you go.
Yeah, you need 20, 30 years on that, even 20 years on that. I mean, you're going to be getting $100,000 a month.
Well, if it's 10 years, if $15 million, you can be $1.5 million a year. So then in 2 years,
yeah,
it's going to be $750,000 a year. Yeah, so that's
probably tax free too.
That's not pocket change. That's some serious. You know, it would be considered, I guess, some type of alimony. It might be
child support. Maybe they don't pay tax on child support.
Wow, I tell you, that's the easy way to learn how to date people. Give you $15 million,
baby. Gosh, legion of kids.
That's the mental candy for today.
Mental candy
get
for
off
today.
The gold, by the way, 30,000.
Oh, gold, yeah. Everybody is watching gold right now that's never bought anything or didn't even buy the 10,000. Okay. I mean, I told my buddy that years ago. He was like, I don't have enough cash to buy any gold. I said, buy 10,000 ones. By 10,000. It was back when you could pick them up. Gold was like 15. 10,000 was like $160.
We told you guys way back when gold was like 800, 900,000 an ounce. Didn't give you any economic advice. Said, pretty good investment right now to buy gold.
Well, I told him, I said, you buy a tenth of an ounce every single month. If that he's struggling, he's tight on cash. It's like $100-something a month. So don't go out to eat.
I remember one of your contractor friends told me, he goes, he asked me 20 years
yeah.
ago. And I said, just start buying gold. And so he came back the other day and said, you know, that's the best investment advice I've ever had. He said, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
He said, all my other stuff pales in comparison to this. I'm like, well, yeah. And plus, you got something in your hand.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I had my one buddy. I told him to buy, you know, a tenth of an ounce. And he was doing it every year, like every month, just a tenth of an ounce, which is like averaging 1.2 ounces a year. After, you know, 5 years, you got 6 ounces. Well, now that's like, you know, $20,000 just sitting there in a little savings nest egg. And it was like $150 a month.
Well, you know, what's interesting is a really good book out. It's called The Richest Man in Babylon.
Yep.
I had you read that, remember, years ago. And it said if you just take 10% of the money you make every year, just 10%, yeah, and you invest it in gold.
Yeah.
They said, but within 10 years, you're going to be the richest person in the town.
Now, it's not easy investing gold anymore. Not at $3,400
an ounce. But if gold goes to $30,000 or $40,000 an ounce, $3,000 an ounce was a great investment. So, you know, but I'm not saying that. We're not giving you any investment advice. This is not what the show is.
It's just the Ted Osterbrower Show talking about theories and topics.
Yeah.
Syngenta is now settling thousands of lawsuits alleging Paraquat caused Parkinson's disease now. Paraquat, if you guys know, is an unbelievably horrific weed killer. It was directly
strong
linked to Parkinson's.
Product, man.
Yeah, I mean, it worked for what it was. Another
like Roundup.
Herbicide, yep. They said thousands of plaintiffs had entered into a signed letter agreement to resolve the litigation. April 14th court filing states, Public details of settlement will be available for counsel and clients once the process is finalized. But apparently, they brought an end now to this. They said there were more than 5,800 lawsuits with Parkinson's linked to Paraquat.
Another thing that causes Parkinson's is dry cleaning solvent.
You've told me that before.
It does.
Not many people get stuff dry cleaned as much as they used to.
Well, that's why so many people that are older in their 70s, if they made it that long with Parkinson's, they got the shakes real bad. A lot of time because they're always getting their clothes dry cleaned.
Just because the chemicals in it?
I forgot the name of the compound.
Well, the problem is, when you get, especially if you're getting undershirts, your button-ups, dry clean. I don't care who you are. Eventually, you're going to sweat one of those shirts, especially if you got a suit on. And as far as you're sweating, your pores are open. Then you're absorbing that stuff through your skin, through those shirts. So be very careful with that. And same thing with these herbicides, these weed killers like Roundup, Paraquat.
I'm done with that stuff.
That's why I try not to use any of this stuff around my kids. I know how toxic it is. I don't like to use it on my property at all. We use salt a lot, and it's a pain in the butt, but it works really good. And it's very healthy. It's much better for the environment. When you salt weeds in an area, you salt weeds. I mean, salt.
There we go. A common and widely used chemical might be fueling the rise of the world's fastest growing brain condition, Parkinson's disease. For the past 100 years, trichloroethylene has been used to decaffeinate coffee, decrease metal, and dry clean clothes. It contaminates the Marine Corps base Camp Lejeune, 15 toxic Superfund sites in Silicon Valley, and up to one-third of the groundwater in the U.S. is contaminated with this product. TCE causes cancer, is linked to miscarriages, congenital heart disease, and is associated with a 500% increased risk in Parkinson's disease.
That is a huge
increase. I'm going to post this for you guys. Yep. Trichloroethylene. So that's the one that basically is the nightmare one that we basically are being exposed to. Now, you said it contaminates most of the wells. Okay. So here's the thing with this. You know, that's why you see a distiller is different than a filter. A distiller takes the water and separates it from the chemicals. The chemicals stay in the boil tank. And then every so often you clean the boil tank, and you have to get in there, you know, with like acid to get it out because it's like calcium carbonate and all kinds of stuff.
For it.
We have cleaner for it.
Waterized cleaner, but it's
I mean, I've gone in. I don't do this, but I've done this because you'll break your distiller, and I've broken my distiller before. Okay, as you can go in there with a doggone hammer and just chisel. Chip it out, but it comes out like concrete. And I showed it to you on the air before. I need to show that to him again. In fact, my distiller needs to be cleaned anyhow. So ask yourself a question. If you were going to drink all the water that made all that doggone calcium carbonate like concrete in the bottom of a distiller, if you were going to do that, you know, for the length of time that it took to basically make that water, sometimes I cleaned it like every 4 months, that means all that calcium carbonate would have been in you. You followed me on that? You got it out of the water and you didn't drink it, so it would have been in you.
And this is one of the distillers that cleaned out.
Oh, that's one of the pictures right there. Look at that. That's it. And so what I came in here and did, give me camera four, Rich. I took camera four. Look at that stuff. That's posted on the website. You see, it's like concrete.
Calcium carbonate, iron.
That's me doing this, and that's all the stuff in there. That would have all been in your arteries. Think about that in your joints. But this stuff, doctors
sharp. Look at it.
The doctors have actually cut their gloves when doing bypass surgery on this stuff because it's so sharp and has such an edge on it. I'll give this camera two again.
Yeah.
But thank you, Austin. I'm glad you did that.
Well, we have that posted on the old site.
Look at that. It's like a razor.
No, it is sharp. We pulled it out for it.
Now, that's what comes out of a distiller. So that's why if you have trichloroethylene in the water supply, it ain't, because we have a volatile gas vent on these distillers, which lets that stuff escape. So when it boils off, it goes off first, so you don't get it doesn't reconstitute back into the water. Distilled water is the absolute best. That or reverse osmosis is also good. I'm not going to – it will. Reverse osmosis is good too because it takes the same stuff out. The problem is if the filter gets clogged on the reverse osmosis – it's really contaminated.
Yeah.
Make sure you keep that filter changed. The distiller, you start, you know, it just stops working as well because it gets built up. Same thing happens in a hot water heater. You have that calcium carbonate build up around the coils over a period of years. The hot water heater becomes less and less efficient because it's having to heat up all that calcium every time it tries to heat up the water. So be very, very careful with these kind of compounds like trichloroethylene with Parkinson's disease. But I've just posted this again. It'll be posted on the website tonight so you can read it. But that's what I say. You know, there's all this stuff is out there in the food supply and in the water supply and in the groundwater supply. So be really, really, really careful. Oh, by the way, Tom Cruise, you know, back in 2005, we talked about the other day. You talked about Tom Cruise jumping on Oprah's couch, remember?
Yeah.
And he was talking about Brooke Shields, and she had postpartum depression, and he was, you know, he just did this whole thing. It was all of a sudden he was they eviscerated him.
I remember that.
He's Scientology. I don't believe in Scientology at all. That's nonsense. That I could tell you, L. Ron Hubbard, you know, Jack Parsons, they were all friends with, you know, with these weirdos back in the 40s and the 50s, including Aleister Crowley. I mean, this is a satanic group, all right. But L. Ron Hubbard has some weird ideas. So I don't believe in Scientology at all. It's just nonsense. But, you know, Tom Cruise is a Scientologist. He's also a very good, you know, actor as far as, you know, his what he does as far as I love Tom Cruise as far as his acting. And it says it's been nearly 20 years of Tom Cruise's infamous outburst on the Today Show where he passionately railed against antidepressants and called psychiatry yep. a pseudoscience. And he is right. They always guess at what kind of stuff they're going to give you. At the time, the rant was widely mocked and Cruise was dismissed as a Hollywood eccentric. Some people called him a kook for spouting controversial views. But now, listen to this. With a record of young people being diagnosed with depression and prescriptions for antidepressants soaring among teens and 20-somethings, Cruise's tirade is being viewed with a new light. Today, new CDC data showed that nearly 18% of Americans, 18%, that's one in five people, have been diagnosed with depression. Wow. In 2005, when Tom Cruise said this, only about 5%. So it's gone up almost 400%. At the same time, the agency revealed that 11% of Americans were taking antidepressants in 2023. While the figure has dropped slightly in recent years, the top figures hide a dramatic surge among younger adults with antidepressant use, among 20 to 18, 24-year-olds. It's jumped 35%. Cruise basically has been talking for this years and years and years, a longtime critic of what he views as the overprescription of psychiatric drugs. He's right, particularly young people. And by the way, there's a black box warning on there for young people. They commit suicide. Just thought I'd mention that. Warned that in 2005 interview about the influence of Big Pharma and the quick fix mentality he believed was being sold to vulnerable youth. And the data seems to support at least part of his concern. You know, that Daily Mail says whether it's ADD or depression, we put a Band-Aid over the wound. Without the medication, nothing has changed. When it comes to mental health, we need to focus on sustainable long-term solutions to help people overcome the root cause of their issues. Now, I'm going to stop here for a second. Supplements are extremely important for depression and brain health. Now, if you've got a real deep-seated mental issue that something's happened to you and you need to talk to a really good Christian counselor, go to one who won't give you drugs to start with. You've got to do that. It's very important. You've got to work through a lot of these issues, especially if you had issues in your past. I remember many, many years ago up in Tallahassee, I saw a guy at the Baptist Campus Ministry who had a PhD in psychology. He was phenomenal. And he took me through my past, took me through my what happened to me, my family, what happened to me, you know, with my mom and all this other kind of stuff. And finally, he told me after three or four sessions, he goes, "Wow, you're the most stable person I've ever met." And I thought, "Oh, well, no, thanks. I appreciate that." And see, the reality is that sometimes that really helps, just walking through it and talking to somebody about it. Now, sometimes you've got a deficiency of B vitamins. Sometimes you've got hypoglycemia. Sometimes you've got a problem with your serotonin. You need to be on a 5-HTP. Sometimes you don't have enough omega-3 in your diet, which happens a lot with postpartum depression because the baby will suck the omega-3 basically out of the mother's brain, and you need to be on a fish oil supplement. So if you go and you look on our website, we talk about natural solutions for proper brain health on our website. Look at the suggestions that we give you. But those three, and then you take the powdered multiple with it, 5-HTP, B-complex, the oil, the essential fish oil, it makes a huge difference with a lot of people. Now, again, if you've had severe trauma in your life, something really bad happened to you, you're probably going to have some psychological help just to get through it. But the reality is that at least you can try first with supplementation.
Well, the omega-3s are crucial, but I have seen those have such a positive effect on people's mental health with the omega-3, the B vitamins, and the 5-HTP. And another one to look at, too, because everything he just said is extremely accurate. And there's also one other factor to look at, too, is look at your diet. I've talked about this article repeatedly now at Team Health Masters. Is ultra-processed food making you depressed?
There you go.
This is a huge thing to look at. I talk about it all the time, but yet I still get people coming to me, asking me about it, and I ask them about their diet, what they're eating. Because be honest with me, if you're asking me for help or nutritional advice, you got to let me know what you're doing. You can't sit there and be like, "Oh, I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I eat, you know, a salad once a day with grilled chicken on it." No, you're not. You're 400 pounds and you're 5'5". You're not eating grilled chicken salad every day. Please don't lie to me. I'll be here to help you out. I'll encourage you. I'll walk you through stuff, but just be honest with me. And then once people are, we start finding out, "Oh, man, I'm eating ice cream every night. I'm eating basically cookies before bed. I'm drinking soda." The blood sugar spike is another factor that has a huge factor on people's mood.
I had a friend of mine. His name was Samil. I haven't seen him since college. And I remember I helped him lose like 50 pounds.
Yeah.
Well, he works out with us on a Friday, and Monday he comes back in.
Check in.
He's at 15 pounds. 50 pounds over the weekend.
Jeez.
And I said, "What the heck did you eat?" He goes, "Well, I ate a cookie." I said, "Dude, you didn't eat a cookie." A cookie
you
ate
a whole bakery.
You ate 40, 25 different.
15 pounds over a weekend?
Yeah, no, it did. It was 15 pounds. And he had lost a lot of weight. It's very easy for somebody who's lost weight to gain it right back real quick.
Right.
But he'd put on 15 pounds. That's got to be all colon weight because he gorged himself.
Still a lot of food.
And he never ever admitted he didn't. That was it. Right after that, he quit working out with
him. Well, that's what whenever I've trained people, I've worked with people with diets, I'm like, my first thing out the gate is you got to be 100% honest. I'm not going to – what you're eating is what you're eating. I'm going to help you through it. But you can't sit there and have me help you, and I can't figure out what's going on because we're a stalemate. We're not burning more body fat.
Well, here's some serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Here's some of the side effects. Sexual dysfunction, weight gain, insomnia, headaches, nausea, dizziness. They also experience emotional numbing to a point where they feel disconnected from life and less emotionally reactive.
That happens.
Sometimes they get into like a zombie state, and they really don't know what they're doing.
Well, Xanax does that a lot. I mean, I'm not if you're on benzodiazepines, don't come off them without your doctor's advice. But I have watched that happen with numerous people I know with benzos.
The Prozac, and then they've got that one that's a sustained release Prozac. It's called basically Effexor. That's a hard one to come off of. And what happens is, this is going to sound kind of weird, but they get really weird from a sexual standpoint because they have they're numbing. They do all kinds of weird stuff they shouldn't be doing because they've been numbed, and they don't think that anything they're doing is wrong.
Well, and then relationships, you know, even with family and kids, becomes disconnected too because there's no.
You have sun sensitivity, excessive sweating, insomnia, indigestion, loss of the libido, changes of the libido, despite concerns of doctors dole out prescriptions for antidepressants too readily. And, you know, in 2018, it was a sweeping meta-analysis by a coalition of international psychiatrists, and they looked at how 21 different antidepressants perform in treating major depression in adults. They found that all the antidepressants worked better than a placebo. They did? Okay, well, I don't believe that. In 1999, scientists identified the common SSRI. They're promoting it. So that's why I'm not going to do this. And, you know, now they're promoting SSRI. They nail it, and they start talking about how great it is now. And it's not. So it's always better. So in 2023, women were more likely to take these medications than men, 15% versus 1 in 7 versus 1 in 14. So you think about that. You figure approximately 20% of somebody in this country, 25%. That's 60, 70, 80, 100 million people taking drugs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, unbelievable.
Look at the numbers, too, of people taking statins. That's to the roof now. I mean, there's doctors. I've personally heard this. Doctors that try to put their male patients on statins as a preventative in the event they may possibly have cardiac problems in the future, even if they have perfect HDL and LDL levels are perfect.
It's stupid. They don't even talk about a massive increase in cancer from statins.
No, they don't talk about it at all.
And another one, Cruz said that the ADHD, attention hyperactivity disorder, was often misdiagnosed, and the use of drugs like Ritalin, Adderall to treat ADHD was part of a larger problematic trend of over relying on medication. He's absolutely right. He said this 20 years ago, and they tried to take him down.
I know.
Hollywood tried to destroy him, but he had so much money, he started producing his own films.
Change your kids' diet. Cut out the high fructose corn syrup, the processed sugar foods, and the food coloring. Start them on this stack. This stack's under $65, and it usually lasts them about 2 months plus. It's the Cod Children Omega-3. You can get it in the capsule form if you really want to get it. The liquid's the best, though. It's way better bang for your buck as far as the price. And the Ultimate Multiple Chewable, both of which taste great. I personally tested these along with testing them on my own kids to make sure they were palatable because I know kids get a little weird sometimes. The strawberry cod tastes amazing for what it is. The chewable tastes like sweet tarts. This product will single-handedly change. This kit right here will change, from my opinion, children's behavior if you change their diet alongside it, because they're getting the multiple that they need. They're getting the omega-3s they need. These are two staples that children need in their diet every single day.
You know, we have a good friend of ours who's passed away now. And he basically had a real bad problem with hypoglycemia.
Yeah.
And if he ate sugar, high fructose corn syrup, he had a real bad drop off.
Oh, yeah.
Got really moody, got really depressed. And if he ate clean, it was great.
Yep.
Well, he went to a brain clinic, you know, in a major southern U.S. city. I'm not going to mention any names here. And basically they told him, well, you have this deficiency of this mineral, you know, which was going to be, it's lithium and whatever. I mean, lithium, that's a serious medication. It'll fry the brain. And then they said, well, we're going to put you on this, or we're going to put you on two or three other drugs. And as they just guessed.
Yeah.
And pretty soon he's on like 7 psychiatric.
Oh, drugs. Yeah. They'll stack all
of them. And his condition was primarily caused by hypoglycemia. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. You know, children, they get big emotions, and they don't know how to handle them. they start sitting there looking at going, okay, what? Why am I feeling this way? Why do I act this way? They don't understand it. They're not cognizant to understand what's going on with them. And in most cases, they're getting these up and down mood swings based primarily on blood sugar instability because they're getting a giant bowl of cereal that's all high fructose corn syrup with homogenized or ultra-pasteurized milk on top.
It's true.
No good protein, no healthy fats, nothing to stabilize your blood sugar. And then their blood sugar is swinging up and down all day. And then the parents, I can't figure out why they're moody. I can't figure out why they don't want to focus. I can't figure out why they're tired. Look at what you're feeding your kids. This concept, I'm going to say this right now, is I don't want to be rude or step on anybody's toes. Your children's diet is 100% your responsibility when they're younger. I don't care what the kids say they want to eat. If you let them go long enough, they'll live on ice cream and Twinkies every single day if you let them do it. Why are you allowing your kids to pick and choose every meal they eat every single day? I'm just asking. I'm being really honest on that question. If they come to you and they say, Dad, I found a jug of Drano under the sink. Drano. It's blue. I want to drink it. You're going to go, you know what, son? You're 6 years old. You can make your own decisions on what you eat. Would you do that? The answer is nobody in the right mind would do that. But yet they're coming to you with a box of, you know, Lucky Charms, which is 40, 50 grams of sugar per serving of high fructose corn syrup, and they want to shove that down.
All those colors.
And then parents go, oh, it's fine. I'll let you eat that. It doesn't matter what they want to eat. Of course, you give them rewards. You give them certain things. You want to take them out for ice cream. I mean, you had a hunter on Sunday, went to the shooting range all day. He got to shoot the Glock 44, the new handgun 22 that just came out. He shot the AR-22 rifle. We went and got dinner. We went and got some organic ice cream. It's high-quality ice cream. It's not organic, but it's high-quality. He had a great day. It was like the second day of his birthday weekend. And so, again, you got certain things you do that, but it doesn't need to be every single day all the stuff that they want because, again, at the end of the day, they'll eat chicken nuggets and ice cream every single day, and they won't bat an eye about it if you let them do it. And then you wonder why they're having weight problems, and you wonder why they're having behavioral problems. You're responsible for your kid's diet, not your six-year-old. Don't blame it on them. It's not their fault.
Yeah, I've never seen a six-year-old yet jump in the car and go buy junk food.
Haven't either. You know, I've noticed every time I Publix, I don't see 7 and 8-year-olds running around like Lord of the Flies.
You know, with a bunch of –
filling up their carts.
With a big Visa card.
With a big Visa card in their name. And they go running, throwing their card 8 years old. Never seen that. So, just meddling.
This is not to pick on Canadian people because I like a lot of Canadian
people. We got a lot of great Canadian
customers. We do. I love them. But Canadian government sucks, this is an article that says – President Trump's tariffs on Canadian imports triggered unusual response from Ottawa. Okay, and, you know, an outrageous policy the Canadian default when settling with Washington's asks. This is not written well. Canada has basked in the American economic and military protection for years while shirking its responsibility. And it goes on, the tariffs are long overdue. The 25% tariffs on Canadian exports to the U.S. are no longer hypothetical. They're real and biting. Trudeau's last-minute border pledge, by the way, he needs to be replaced if you're in Canada, bought a brief reprieve, but Mark Carney now inherits the fallout. These tariffs aren't a response to one slide. They're a compound interest on years of strategic freeloading by Canadian leadership.
There you go.
Okay, made worse by Washington's past reluctance to demand accountability. I'm going to let you guys read the rest of this stuff because it was written. It's hard to read. But guys, the reality is it's got some good articles. It's got some good content in it. But, you know, it's sad. It's like with Canada or with the United Nations and or with NATO. Why is it the United States has to carry the burdens with debt?
All the time.
No, if we were financing or paying for all this stuff and we weren't increasing our debt load, no, whatever. But when you have to borrow money on your credit card, it's called the national debt, in order to support all these other economies around the world, it's time for that stuff to stop.
Yeah, no, 100%. So again, my friends, hope you guys are staying strong and healthy. You need anything, check out the website. Lots of products on sale, like collagen, 15% off right now. Be sure to check out the other kits we have on the website at Team Health Masters, including the 3-pack specials and a few other kits. Personal favorite, the ultimate morning energy kit. If you don't get your eggs in, there's a great stack to throw in place of it. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Email us if you need anything. Make sure you're following us on the podcast, thebrowershow.com. Get the daily updates on there so you get all the stuff right to your email. You don't got to look for it. It's right there every day on your phone or on your laptop or your iPad, whatever other digital device you're floating around these days. Have a great evening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.
Hey, I love you. Always remember Jesus, author and the finisher of the perfect of our faith. Always keep your hearts and minds in Christ. I love you guys so much, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.